I want to first thank the Lord for saving me and keeping me, to thank Pastor Terry for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony, and to you, my church family, for your love and support and prayers over the many years for myself and my family. I grew up in on a farm outside of Havelock, and the oldest of four children. And one thing I'll mention, that one brother, he passed away at 37, but I saw him come to this altar and receive the Lord, so I know where he is, and I'm going to see him again someday. Around the age of 8, the Pentecostal church in town were going to have a vacation Bible school, and they offered a ride, bus ride into town, and oh, I love the music. I remember one song, "I Will Make You Fishers of Men." Well, I'm hoping, Lord, I'm a fisher of men. Hallelujah. I love the music and the crafts and the Bible stories. And my mom was considering taking Okay, so she was considering taking us to church. We hadn't gone to church at that point in time. And my dad said, "Well, if you'll go to the United Church, I'll go with you, and we can go to church as a family." So she conceded to do that, and we went to church as a family. I sang in the choir many years. I was confirmed there. And I was 13 when I asked my dad to help me learn how to play the guitar. So he did, you know, said, "Learn 3 chords and come back." So in a week, I knew G, C, and D, and he played every song he could think of. He turned it into that key of G, and he was on the fiddle, and Mom on cording on the piano. I just throw that in because music is a big part of my life. Perhaps some people are not aware that Clayton is my second husband. My first husband and I lived in Peterborough, and God was drawing me, and I went back to those confirmation classes in the Havelock United Church because I was seeking God, but I didn't know how to find him. And I'd cry on the way home and thinking, I don't even know if my grandparents are going to heaven. Here I was worried about them, you know. I guess I thought I had lots of years left or something. I don't know, but I can remember crying on the way home. And I took a course in Ottawa. It was only a 3-week course, and I stayed with his sister, and I came home on the weekends, and on the Wednesday of the final week, I had a dream. Here I'm not saved. And the Lord warns me in a dream. In the dream, my husband, first husband, said, "I have a girlfriend, don't you know that?" I phoned him the next night after class and in the evening when I could get a hold of him. And I told him about the dream and how upset I was. And he seemed so distant on the phone, and he said, "I'll see you tomorrow night." So when I get home, he admits that he had been given an offer he couldn't refuse, and he'd spent the whole week with someone else. He said, "You go home to your family, they love you, and I want to go see her." So I went to my family, and one of my uncles kind of took over. We went right up and got most of my possessions out of that house, the apartment we were in. I left a note saying, "It doesn't have to be over." And his watch had been in my car for like 2 weeks, so I thought on the Monday morning, I'll just stop in and give him this watch and see if we can talk things out or whatever. And I went in and into my own place, and I saw 2 heads on the pillows there. So I quickly exited and went up to work and cried on the back step saying, I'll never be married and I'll never have children. You know, God hears the desire of our hearts, doesn't he? So I was depressed and rejected, and I started seeking God again. But, you know, I wanted him to fix everything, and for me to get back with my husband. But that's not what happened. And you know what? I was so dependent on that poor man to make me happy. I feel sorry for him. You know, no person's going to make you happy. Your happiness comes from the Lord. In Exodus 23, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And later I realized he was removed right out of my life so that I would find God. All the heartache and misery, it was worth it because it's part of my life story, but the Lord has healed me from those emotional wounds. In August of 1980, I went out to visit my fanatical Aunt Alva in Edmonton. I knocked on her front door, and she opens it up, and I said, "I came here to get filled up." I didn't even know what I was asking for, but I got it. Oh, dear. So the first day, she tells me the way of salvation. Like, nobody told me it was personal. You know, later I read the booklet from the confirmation classes, you know, and it was right there, but it wasn't personal to me. It was good stuff in that book, but it wasn't personal to me. And I sensed the presence of God for the first time, and I was afraid. And so we prayed. You know, I asked the Lord to forgive me and to come into my heart. And she said, "You know, now you need to ask to receive the Holy Spirit." And I'm going, "Whoa! Let's just talk for a while." So we talked that evening and about what sin was. I didn't realize some of the things that were in God's standards versus man's standards of what's a good life or what's a good person. So after talking that evening, then, okay, the next day I said, "Okay, I'm ready." Well, I had my eyes closed, and it was like black and red colors circling around. And she said, "There is something blocking you from receiving the Holy Spirit. So you need to ask the Lord in specific way to forgive you of some sins," which the night before I found out were wrong, right? I'd gone to a tea leaf reader. I bought those silly old horoscope books and, you know, look up every day for a laugh. What's supposed to happen today? So I could barely get that word horoscopes out. It was like, oh, it was so heavy. And when I finally said, "Forgive me, Lord, for reading those things," it was like the room lit up, and I felt like I lit up on the inside, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to trust him moment by moment and not to worry about our future. That's what that was, tea leaf readers, horoscopes. Once I asked forgiveness, as I said, the room filled up, and I filled up. I was born again, a new creation, we sang tonight. I saw brilliant colors and the beauty of God's creation, and I felt like I was walking above the pavement. I was so light, the burden of my sin was gone. I went to a Christian bookstore. I wanted to buy some Christian music and wanted a picture of Jesus for my room. I was heading off to college as dental hygiene program in Ottawa in a few weeks, and those were things I wanted to buy. And there was this little 8x10 picture of Jesus up there. He's walking on the water, and he has his hands out, both hands. I got to hold one microphone. But anyways, I looked up at that little picture, and my knees went weak. It was like, whoop. I went like that. I go, "That's my picture." And so I had 1 week with this aunt who taught me as much as she could in a week. And it was Jesus I'd been looking for, and I finally found him. And, you know, I didn't know till after. I go home, and I'm all excited and telling my parents what had happened to me. And I found out Dad had followed some, it was like a Salvation Army band or a mission band or something outside. They went in a church, and here he received the Lord when he was a young man. And my mother had received the Lord when she was maybe 18. But I never knew that before. They had never told me. So I moved to Ottawa to go to college, and I saw an advertisement for a room in a Christian home. Well, they had a minister come to do Bible studies weekly, so I sat in on the meetings. Well, they said it was a demon deliverance ministry and told me not to speak in tongues. And they would, you know, pray, and one would have visions, the other interpret, and tell you what they claimed I was thinking. I thought I was going to go crazy. I goes, Lord, am I really thinking that? I was fearful. Sometimes you were good enough to be around them, and other times you weren't allowed to be with them. And they even threatened that if I thought that they weren't from God, I was going to hell. The enemy will do anything to get us off track. Here I am, just new in the Lord. You people, I'm sorry. Some people have a reverend in front of their name, and we look up to them, and we need to know that they're right and that they are telling us things that God wants us to know. So he tries to get us off track, and I was full of fear. I had a little button that said, trust Jesus. I had to write my exams with my hand on that little button. I got to trust the Lord to get through this. I just have waves of fear come on me. It was terrible. So I needed to get away from there. My parents thought I was in a cult and things like that, and they wanted me home. So I moved to Oshawa in November of 81. In July of 82, I saw a poster on the way to work. The same stance that Jesus has in my little 8x10 picture that I bought for my room. You know? It reminded me of Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I stopped my vehicle and wrote it down, the time and the place of the tent meetings that they were having. I was in a bad place at that time. I hadn't found a church that fit me, and I felt like I'd failed God. You know, it was Pastor Terry that put that poster up. So I want to encourage you, the little things that God has us do to encourage others. You know, how did he know? He put a poster on a light post, and somebody be around for 40 years, almost. I sensed the wonderful peace of God and his presence in those meetings, and I began attending church every meeting I could get to. I didn't realize that I could have God and peace at home, but it sure was in the church. He sure was there. In July it'll be 40 years since I started attending. In October 82, I had one husky dog, and I was a member of the Husky Dog Club. And they were going to have a dance to raise money for the races. And they were encouraging me to come. And here I'm just in a good place. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm on the right track. I've got a wonderful church I'm attending. And I said, well, okay, I'll come. But I'm going to drive myself so I can get out of there. I didn't want to go and feel, you know, that it was, I was by myself. Most people were married, right? So I didn't want to. I said, I want to escape if I can. And so Clayton ended up sitting beside me. And I'm so bored. I'm not drinking. I'm thinking, oh, isn't anybody even going to ask me to dance? Nobody told me I should go dancing. he has some liquid courage, and he. And he asked me if I'd like to dance. So we're up on the dance floor, and I'm telling him, I'm a born-again Christian. I have Jesus as my Savior. And he says, oh, the man upstairs and I have a good relationship. He doesn't bother me, and I don't bother him. So anyways, said, okay, well, you know, just conversation. What do you do for a living? Well, he said, I'm a private investigator. Well, I laughed so hard. The poor guy. I was thinking of Mannix, Remington Steele, and all those, you know. But anyway. So he didn't ask. He said, could he call me? And I said, yes. Well, he didn't ask where I lived or my phone number, but he wanted to prove he was a private investigator. Oh, dear.